Welcome to Time After Time,
a non-sponsored, highly judgmental podcast about time travel
and love
and friendship
and the movies that bring them together into our living rooms.
I'm Helena.
And I'm Paige.
And maybe in an alternate timeline, you've already listened to this podcast
and you loved it.
Let's go.
It's going down. I smashed your Legos. They're on the floor.
You're very sad. Wow, that's a good one.
Thank you. I've had that song stuck in my head for hours. I don't know why.
Probably because they played it at the bar last night, right?
Probably, but they played many songs at the bar last night.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. It's just you.
All right, well, that was a song.
That was a song.
About the Lego Movie 2, set to Kesha's Timber.
Having the song stuck in your head is very on theme for this movie.
Oh, fair point.
Fair point from Mysterious Stranger in the corner.
Ooh, a mysterious stranger. Who could it be?
Ooh.
That's right, Time Sluts. We have a guest this week.
As promised. Sorry, do you want me to introduce
him? Yeah, you introduce him. He's your friend. I don't know this person.
He's your friend now?
No.
Okay. So this week we have a very special guest, a full-on lawyer.
He's very lawyerly, as some people say.
A lot of people say he's very lawyerly. He's fighting the good fight over at Legal Aid with me and, you know, keeping me sane. Avid climber, foodie, music snob.
In a
good way.
Great trivia teammate.
Yeah. What other adjectives would you use to describe yourself, stranger?
First, I'd like to say that I don't identify as very lawyerly.
All right. Well, welcome to your ears, Max Reinhardt. Woo!
Hi.
Hi, Max.
Hi, Paige.
Wait, I don't get a hello?
You didn't say hi to me.
Oh, well,
you said you didn't know him.
I know, but like, no. I just feel like you were like doing the hi Paige, hi Helena.
I'm Max. Nice to meet you.
It's nice to meet you for the first time.
As you're in Helena's house.
In my apartment. Welcome to my house.
Helena's just constantly letting strangers into her house.
It's true. I do let a lot of strangers in here. If you want to come over, just, you know, DM me. I don't care who you are.
Yes. So very excited for Max to join us as we talk about
The Lego Movie 2, : the second part. Why is it called that?
Because they...
Are you gonna have info for me in Blast of the Past, or is that just like a...
No, it's just because they love being like self-referential. They think humor is just being self-referential.
Yeah, clearly.
If I could offer another theory.
Okay,
great,
please.
After watching the first Lego movie, I thought, you know, the second Lego movie could be a sequel to this movie, or it could just be a completely different Lego movie.
And do you feel that it was a genuine sequel?
Absolutely. All the same characters. And, yep. I mean, I don't know. Are we at the spoilers point yet?
We are a spoiler-heavy podcast. If you are listening to... We don't say spoiler alert. If you are listening to this, the movie will be spoiled. So, I don't know why you would be listening to this...
And be angry at us for spoiling the Lego Movie 2, : the second part.
From at least 3 years ago now.
Yeah.
Well, it has, you know, even the human characters, not just the same Lego characters. So I think, you know,
that
pretty
qualifies.
Clearly it's a second part and not just a different Lego movie.
Yeah, I could see what you're saying, though, because there's so many different kinds of Legos that they could have just been like, here's a totally different story about totally different Legos.
Maybe they even should have.
Maybe
these characters had wrapped up the story we needed.
Maybe they did. We don't know. I do have to say though, I heard from Paige that you watched both Lego movies in preparation for this. So like, thank you so much for
really doing your homework,
really committing. We did not watch the first Lego movie. Neither of us.
Well, I'd seen the first Lego movie many years ago.
Oh, okay. Well, then I'm the slacker here. I did not watch it. I thought that we just weren't watching it.
It's been many years, so I don't know if it still counts. But Max, I will say, you having watched both movies, doing more homework than you needed to, really goes against you saying you're not very lawyerly.
It's well,
like,
I only
sounds like a lawyerly.
I only
to
told you I would come on the Lego 2 podcast because I wanted to watch the first Lego movie.
Oh, okay.
So you really only invested in the first Lego movie?
I wouldn't say that. I just had heard that it was better.
Okay.
And I had some regrets at having not seen the original Lego movie. I did not really hear anything about part 2 that made me feel that way, but it was on your list.
Yeah, part 2 is the only one that counts. First Lego movie, doesn't count.
Although Max, I believe, spoiler alert for this podcast, Max did tell me yesterday that he has an argument that there is time travel in the first movie.
Okay, well, I'm excited to hear it.
But not right now.
It sounds like we have a lot of ground to cover, so maybe we should get into this.
I also think there's a reason you haven't heard much about the Lego movie part 2, the second part.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to jump into our summary. We're going to do a very, very brief overview of what happened in the first Lego movie. So, you know, you can keep up, listeners, with the plot of the second one. Very plot heavy.
Very, very plot heavy.
So we will start with a very brief summary of the Lego movie 1.
Great. Take it away, Paige.
In the Lego universe, an evil businessman named Lord Business, voiced by Will Ferrell, steals a super weapon called the Craggle, which is really just a tube of crazy glue. The wizard Vitruvius, voiced by Morgan Freeman, prophesizes that a Lego called the Special will someday emerge to find the quote-unquote piece of resistance, the only thing capable of stopping the Craggle.
The Special turns out to be Emmett Burkowski, voiced by Chris Pratt, a regular Lego construction worker. With the help of his new friend slash love interest, kind of, I guess.
Special best friend,
Lucy Wildstyle, voiced by Elizabeth Banks, Lego Batman, Will Arnett, and Vitruvius, Emmett manages to save the Lego world from being frozen or glued together by Lord Business and the Craggle. In the human world, we find out that this is all playing out in the basement of a child named Finn. His father, who looks and sounds suspiciously like Lord Business, only wants Finn to use his Legos to build what is on the box, rather than mixing up his sets and using his own creativity. Everything gets resolved in both the Lego world and in the human world when Finn's dad sees the error of his ways. In the final moment of the movie, Finn's little sister, Bianca, arrives downstairs to play with the Legos, resulting in Duplo aliens crash landing into the Lego universe and threatening destruction.
All right, so now we're moving into Lego Movie Part 2. The second part. The sequel picks up right where we left off with the Duplo aliens. Emmett builds a Lego heart as a sign of friendship, but the Duplos eat it and demand more. Believing they are under attack, the Legos go into battle against the Duplos.
We then fast forward 5 years into the future. Teenage Finn has decided to build Apocalypseburg, a Mad Max-style apocalyptic wasteland out of Legos. The Lego people deal with the effects of this, as well as the repeated attacks from the Duplos. Lucy and Emmett are still special best friends, and Emmett tries to remain upbeat despite the state of his world and the visions he's been having of a universe-ending event called Armageddon.
During one Duplo attack, Lucy, Batman, and a few of their other friends are kidnapped by a doll named General Mayhem, voiced by Stephanie Beatrice, and taken to the Sistar system, where a shape-shifting empress named Queen Whatever a Wannabe, voiced by Tiffany Haddish, seemingly tries to brainwash them into accepting her joyful, glittery world. She claims that she brought them to her realm to have them participate in a matrimonial ceremony, which turns out to be her marrying Batman to unite their worlds.
Meanwhile, back in Apocalypseburg, Emmett tries to convince everyone to go save his kidnapped friends. No one wants to help him because they don't believe he's a tough enough leader for the job, so he decides to go alone. While crossing through the stair gate in his spaceship, he ends up in an asteroid field and his ship is destroyed. He's saved by a rugged adventurer named Rex Dangervest, who agrees to help him get to the Sistar system and save his friends. On the way, Emmett tries to emulate Rex's tough guy persona in hopes of impressing Lucy and the other Legos.
Emmett and Rex find Lucy and come up with a plan to sabotage the wedding, which they believe is secretly some sort of evil plot to bring about Armageddon. When they split up to do their plan, Lucy encounters Mayhem, who claims that the wedding is not intended to bring about Armageddon, but to prevent it from happening. At the ceremony, Queen Whatever reveals her true form. She is the heart that Emmett gave the Duplos 5 years ago. Lucy now believes Mayhem and tries to stop Emmett and Rex from ruining the wedding, but it is too late. Emmett destroys the giant wedding cake slash altar. In reality, Finn has smashed his sister's Lego creations because he was mad that she took his Lego guys.
Emmett realizes he's made a mistake, but before he can do anything to fix it, he is captured by Rex, who reveals that he is actually Emmett from the future. Finally, time travel! Basically, Emmett slash Rex failed to make it through the Stargate in the past. He ended up under the dryer, forgotten by Finn. Angered by this, he eventually got out from under the dryer, changed his appearance, and built a time machine to go back and prevent his past self from ending up under the dryer in the first place. However, he believes that in order for this version of himself to keep existing, Armageddon has to happen. When Emmett tries to prevent it, Rex knocks him under the dryer to avoid Emmett reaching his friends.
Armageddon begins when, in the real world, Finn and Bianca's mom, Maya Rudolph, gets fed up with their fighting and orders them to put their Legos into storage bins. The Legos are put into what they call the bin of storage, where they fear they will remain forever. As he's putting away his Legos, Finn finds Queen Whatevera, which is actually a Lego heart that he made Bianca 5 years earlier, telling her that it could be whatever you want it to be. This inspired Bianca to start building with Legos herself. Realizing this connection, Finn and Bianca start playing with the Legos together instead of fighting.
The Legos are inspired by this to get out of the bin of storage and save Emmett. Lucy and friends help Emmett get out from under the dryer and destroy Rex's time machine. Emmett realizes that he doesn't actually want to be tough guy Rex in the future because he likes himself the way he is. This realization corrects the time paradox and Rex slowly dissolves into nothing, Back to the Future style. Finn and Bianca rebuild both of their Lego creations together, creating a mashup of Apocalypseburg and the Sistar system that the Legos call Sispocalypse Star. Yep. Lucy and Emmett's home gets rebuilt, and she reveals that she co-wrote the song Everything is Awesome. This is big information for some reason. The end.
This brings us to
Blast from the Past.
So this, like most big blockbuster franchise movies, had like a lot of information, a lot of it very boring. So I tried to sift through.
Lots of stars, too.
Lots of stars. So we're not really going in depth on any of the stars. You all know who Chris Pratt is. You all know.
Unfortunately.
We've already skipped talking about Chris Pratt when we did The Tomorrow War.
The Tomorrow War. I hate that one.
Yeah, there's a lot of big people in this movie. You know who Will Ferrell is. You know who Maya Rudolph is. There's also a lot of stuff about the 3D animation technique.
I don't care about
that. I don't really care that much about that. But here's some facts. So this movie is a lot about, like, girls being allowed to play with Legos.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Did get that as a theme.
So the animation team apparently recognized that girls, unlike boys, would not you only use Lego bricks, but also would incorporate other materials such as fabric and paper. So they wanted to use a lot of these other elements, which is why there's a lot of fabric and paper and stuff, especially in like Stargate and things. In the Sistar system. So they played around with that in the animation process.
That's interesting. Mostly because I actually was doing some research earlier today about something I want to bring up more in the feminism section, but about the research that Lego has done in terms of, like, how girls play with Legos versus how boys play with Legos and how that shows up in this movie. So, more on that later.
I gotta say, it annoyed me so much that there were non-Lego things in the Lego world.
Which is fair.
Yeah, that's fair. Girls ruin everything. It's true. It's basically what Max is saying.
That is word for word what I just said.
I don't like the way that, like, I would have been bothered by someone painting my Legos with glitter glue.
Yeah.
Which is something that Bianca seemed to do, and I would have been pissed.
Mm-hmm.
I did enjoy the inclusion of Duplo, but anything that wasn't Lego or Duplo kind of annoyed me.
So they also incorporated the Lego Friends line of toys aimed specifically at girls.
Okay, see, this is what I was going
to
talk about.
Sorry, do you want me to... We'll save it then.
Yeah, let's save it. Okay. If you don't mind.
Yeah, the only thing I
Unless you want... Unless it'd be better to talk about it now.
No, I mean, the only thing related... Apparently, they move differently than the regular Legos.
Yes.
So that was just another challenge for the animation team, but we can talk more about specifically girl Legos versus boy Legos in the feminism section.
Okay, great.
Why? Okay.
This is why it's interesting. So yeah. I wanted to talk about it and did some research on it.
Also, apparently, Queen Whatever Wanna Be, they made sure that all the shapes she made could actually be made with the exact amount of Duplo blocks.
That I like. Yeah. she did a lot of shape shifting into different forms, but always with the same amount of blocks.
Yeah.
For our listeners who have not watched the movie.
Apparently, the Lego movies take place in the imaginations of the children, but they wanted in this movie to make it vague whether the scenes are in Finn's imagination or Bianca's imagination or some combination of the two of them.
Mm, yeah, that was confusing. Mm-hmm. That caused confusion.
It was, in fact, vague. They succeeded in that.
I read in the first movie, every Lego that appeared in the first movie, except for maybe Lord Business's hair, was a Lego that had been available before the movie came out.
Okay, I respect that.
In this movie, apparently that was not the case. Specifically, Ruth Bader Ginsburg Lego was a Lego that they made as part of the line of Legos they made from the movie. So she did not exist.
It took the Lego movie the second part for them to make a Ruth Bader Ginsburg Lego?
Yes.
I don't think I caught the Ruth Bader Ginsburg appearance.
I didn't see her.
She was in the big wedding scene.
Okay.
She was just like one of the...
She was like an extra?
She was like, they were like, look, look at all the big stars that have shown up for this thing. It's such and such, and Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah, I missed that too.
Okay. Well, she was there, and apparently she even gave her blessing for this appearance. But she did not want to perform voice work.
Did she license her image to Lego after that so they could make a...
I mean, they did. They made a Lego for her as part of the film's toy line, so...
But do you need to license... Do real people need to license their images if they are public figures?
That's not the law we do.
I don't know. I'm just asking.
I was quite interested in this theme of the licensing because you saw characters from movie franchises owned by different companies appear in the same movie.
Yes, because they referenced that they couldn't get the Avengers, and there was a fact where it talked about that Disney would not give them the rights to put the Avengers in the movie.
But Star Wars appeared in the first one.
Yes.
In the same movie correct. As Batman, who's...
Yes.
Completely...
Not Disney.
Different.
Right?
Yes, Disney gave them the rights to use Star Wars in the first one, it would not give them the rights to use Avengers in the second one.
And no Disney princesses either. There's a mm-hmm. line of Disney princess
Legos?
Legos, yeah.
It was also interesting that Star Wars didn't reappear in the second movie because it felt very Star Wars-y.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, Rex...
Stargate, yeah.
Yeah, the Stargate and Rex was a clear, Han Solo kind of stand-in, so...
Well, Rex was a Guardians of the Galaxy stand-in because of Chris Pratt.
Mm. Oh. I haven't seen those movies.
Yeah, I guess he...
Or read those comics, I should say.
Both of them. Yeah, I guess... you're right. That is a clearer reference.
Yeah. Just... Sorry. They were very clearly trying to reference all the Chris Pratt parts. But Star Wars would still definitely have fit in Stargate.
For sure. There should have been, like a moment where, Lego Darth Vader comes out. That would have been...
Sure.
That would have made a lot of sense.
Also, interestingly... Jason Momoa was voicing Aquaman, mm-hmm. which is funny because he's played Aquaman. Apparently, Gal Gadot was supposed to voice Wonder Woman, and then no one really knows why, but she ended up just not. And Colby Smulders voices Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman was in it for 2 seconds.
She's in the first one, too.
Oh, okay.
But no one knows why Gal was like, I don't want to.
I hope that there was drama. I will think that it was drama till the day I die.
Anyway, so the Lego Movie Part 2 earned $34 million on its opening weekend, which is 50% lower than the first movie.
Oh, man. Wow, that's a big dip.
Some people attributed it to the fact that there was two spinoffs, two of the Batman movies had already been released, the Lego Batman movies, prior to Lego Movie Part 2. It was technically the sequel, but... people might have been fatigued already by the franchise.
Yeah, that would be like if Shrek had released all the Puss in Boots movies mm-hmm. before Shrek, 3 and 4.
Yeah. Which, by the way, people keep being like, oh, I've heard the Puss in Boots movies are good. I will not watch a Shrek movie that Shrek is not in.
Paige is boycotting the Puss in Boots movie.
Yeah.
Pass it on.
I will refuse to watch a Shrek movie that Shrek is not in. Put him in.
Even just for a minute.
Yeah. What's Mike Myers doing?
Give him a nice little Wonder Woman in the Lego Movie Part 2 appearance.
Sure! I don't care!
Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Wow, Helena, she's dead.
I'm so sorry.
Show some respect.
Oh my god, you're right. Oh my god.
Would you believe this movie has an 84% on Rotten Tomatoes?
What the fuck? Why? Wow, that's honestly wild.
Also received several, like, Nickelodeon's Kids' Choice Awards, People's Choice Awards.
I'm glad the kids liked it.
Yeah. I mean, it was for the kids, presumably.
I'm not sure it was, though. That's the thing.
There were so many parts where I was like, this is not for the kids.
Yeah.
They made an Elliot Smith joke.
Yeah, that is true.
I didn't catch that.
And a radio, like, a Radiohead.
I guess the kids don't know Radiohead either.
Okay, so following the Lego Movie 2's disappointing box office returns, Warner Brothers allowed their film rights with Lego to expire. They were just like, we don't care about this
Lego
anymore.
Movies.
So it
this is over.
So we'll never find out what happens.
Well, no, so the rights have since been picked up by Universal Pictures.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
In August of 2022, so like 4 months ago, 5 months ago, they revealed...
Breaking news here on Time After Time.
Dan Lin revealed that a third film of the series titled The Lego Movie 3, if you can believe it.
Is it going to be colon the third part?
Is in development. And Dan Lin promises that the creative team has reinvented the Lego world for the third film. But it doesn't yet have a release date.
You know what? I doubt it. I doubt it.
There was some controversy with the first one not being nominated for an Oscar for Best Animated.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently Neil Patrick Harris, who hosted the Oscars that year, referenced this and said, because many critics considered this a snub, before they announced the nominees and winner of Best Animated Feature, he said, if you're at the Oscar party with the guys who directed the Lego movie, now would be a great time to distract them.
Oh.
Also, apparently the conservatives, they had mixed takes on the Lego movie, the first one. Apparently...
What?
Big C or small C conservative?
Big C.
Okay.
Apparently Glenn Beck praised the film for avoiding, quote-unquote, the double meanings and adult humor I just hate.
Okay, but, well, I don't think that holds true of the second movie. Glenn Beck probably hates the second movie for that reason.
But U.S. Senator Ron Johnson criticized the film's anti-corporate message, saying that it taught children that government is good and business is bad, citing that the villain's name is Lord Business, and that's done for a reason. And he said, they're starting that propaganda, and it's insidious.
I really don't think Ron Johnson paid enough attention when he was watching the movie, considering that although his name was Lord Business, for most of the movie he was referred to as President Business.
He's still
so
President
he's
Business
government
in the second movie.
And
yeah, he was the government.
Business. He's both.
And he's still the government in the beginning of this movie.
Right.
Wait, so is he ever called Lord Business?
Yeah, that's like his real name.
Oh.
Real name.
Okay, so he's like, I'm evil, but I'm gonna be the president.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sound familiar?
I mean, no, that's not my politics.
Apparently, actress Stephanie Beatrice, who played General Mayhem,
mm-hmm.
Who most people probably know from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. And now from Encanto, yes. I forgot about the kids.
The kids.
She's a very different voice on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. She has a signature small scar on her right eyebrow, which was caused, actually, by tripping on a piece of Lego when she was 10.
Aww. That's kind of cute.
This is something I actually did notice. With 13 minutes of end credits, this film is the longest amount of end credits for a non-Disney animated film. And thus, it is the first animated film to use that amount of end credits without a post-credit scene.
Oh. Well, I did like their post-credit song. That was fun.
But I did notice that because
Sorry, not their post-credit song. The credit song.
Yes.
Yes.
Which one? There were like four.
Because it was so long.
Okay, I stopped.
The first one?
I stopped listening after the first one.
You didn't watch till the very end?
I did not. Which was, it was The Lonely Island.
The Lonely Island
one,
yeah. Yeah, because I did notice, because the movie, when I started watching, I was like, this movie is so long for a children's movie. And then I was like, oh, okay, well, it's over before I thought it was going to be over, so.
Yeah, but also, it still felt really long.
It still felt really long.
It did.
When the mom steps on a brick, she comments that the level of pain is close to that of childbirth. Obviously, she's joking, but apparently studies have shown that the pain of stepping on a Lego is actually much higher than walking across hot coals or broken glass.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
I'm pretty skeptical.
To be fair, this
does that make sense?
To be fair, this is an IMDb trivia fact,
they
and it does not
hurt,
cite its source.
It hurts really bad, but it's the same kind of pain where it's, like, very piercing. Rather than childbirth,
which
I imagine is extended.
No, but we're not talking about childbirth.
I can understand why it would be more equivalent to that.
Mm. Have
to
either of you
glass.
Ever walked over hot coals or stepped on broken
glass? I've stepped on broken glass. That hurts.
I think I have stepped on broken glass.
Walking on broken glass.
Sorry, I'm
quite certain I have stepped on a Lego and survived, you know. So,
I mean, you would survive those other two things too, though.
I don't know if I
and a lot of people survive childbirth.
Well, that's true. Thankfully. I don't know if I would survive walking on hot coals. That sounds excruciating to me.
If you believed hard enough, you would.
Anyway, so Velma from Scooby-Doo can be seen in one of the crowd scenes, as an extra.
I saw that actually. Yes. Yeah.
When asked why the other members of the gang weren't included, the director said, in a post-apocalyptic world, Velma would have been the only one to survive. The other kids wouldn't have made it.
Okay, hard disagree, because she's always losing her glasses. And in an apocalyptic world, if you have to wear glasses and you lose them, you're sunk.
I think Scooby would have survived. I don't know about the kids, but Scooby's a dog, so...
He could have
It's been five years. Dogs don't live that long, you know what I mean?
They live longer than 5 years.
How old do we think Scooby is?
I don't know. I don't think he's that old.
He's like horny.
You know? Yeah, my dog was horny when it was like a year old.
Yeah, so he could be 6 years old and survive and just have gone like fully feral. No more Scooby snacks.
This is going in interesting directions.
Okay, last fun fact. Upon its release, the first Lego movie, not this one, the first Lego movie became the most commercially successful animated film made by Warner Brothers Pictures. Besting one of my favorite movies that I can't stop talking about, Happy Feet, as well as it became the most critically acclaimed animated film made by the studio since The Iron Giant.
Oh, I loved The Iron Giant.
Max, have you seen Happy Feet?
I don't think I have seen Happy Feet.
Do you want Paige to tell you the whole plot? Because she will.
No, I don't want to.
In excruciating detail.
No spoilers.
No spoilers. You should watch Happy Feet. It's a good one.
I wanted to see it when it came out. Yeah. I just never did.
One of my favorite things that Paige does repeatedly with different people is that if you tell her that you've never seen Happy Feet, she will corner you wherever you are and describe the entire plot to you. It's happened to me, I've seen it happen to other people, and honestly, I fucking love it. It's my favorite thing.
I didn't know that Shrek had competition.
No, it
she doesn't
like it as much.
I don't like it as much. I just, the plot is wild.
And honestly, that's why it's a fun time, because people are like, that can't be the plot of Happy Feet, and then it is.
Okay, so I'm done.
Great.
All right, we're moving on to
Magic, Science, Just a Dream.
So here's where we talk about the hows and the whys of the time travel. And I feel like here we're going to get into a really interesting discussion where Max is going to try to convince us that there's no time travel happening.
There isn't.
Okay, well,
go ahead. Go ahead, sir.
This is a story about children playing with Legos, and time passes in a completely linear fashion in the lives of these children.
So you're saying that the story of the Legos just, like, doesn't matter?
It's not that it doesn't matter, but it's about children imagining time travel.
Uh-huh. That's why we have a Just a Dream category.
I think this does...
I mean, if you broaden the word dream to be, like...
daydream... Yeah. I think it could fall into the Just a Dream category, but I also think that this is something we probably need to, like, break down, but, like, the experience of the Legos we must take also as a valid experience.
Yeah.
Because I think the movie presents it as such.
Okay, well, is this the appropriate section to talk about whether the science of it all works, or the explanation, like, whether there's any holes in the theory of time travel, or is that later?
That's kind of the next section, but this is where we talk about, like, the argument that the movie itself is presenting, and then the next section we break it down.
Because I think that, without going into the specifics that maybe are for later, I think there are holes, but that there should be holes, because why would a child be the one to figure out how time travel could actually work logically?
You know what? That's a fair point. But I would also argue that, like, maybe if we ever do figure out time travel, it may come from the mind of a child.
I mean, it could. It could.
Because the grown-ups haven't figured it out, so...
Yeah. I don't know if the movie was intending to make such a profound point as...
I don't think it was. So, the way that the time travel works in the film, according to the Legos experience of it, if we go by that, in this section, for the sake of argument, is that basically Rex, who is Emmett, built a time machine, went back, and immediately, like, changed the set of circumstances that led to him building the time machine.
Yes.
Well, fun tidbit for your podcast is that he built the time machine by taking parts from the time machines from all the different time travel movies.
That was very fun. I did pause many times to write them all down. He takes pieces from the DeLorean, Bill and Ted's phone booth, Doctor Who's TARDIS, H.G. Wells' bicycle thing, which, by the way, Rex, is just called the time machine.
It's the OG time machine. That's where history,
that's
Rex.
That's where we get the phrase, the time machine.
Get it together, Rex.
Skynet's thing, which is from the Terminator, and the hot tub time machine. So we've talked about the DeLorean in our Back to the Future Part 3 episode. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about H.G. Wells' bicycle thing in the time machine. Mm-hmm. We've talked about the Terminator movies, and we've talked about hot tub time machine. We have not talked about Bill and Ted's phone booth because I don't think there's any romance in that.
Although many
there's a bromance.
Many have argued this.
And also Doctor Who is a TV show. So we haven't run out of movies yet.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, I liked that aspect. I thought that was very funny.
But why would they make a hot tub time machine Lego set? That movie's not appropriate for children.
There are so many Lego sets that are not appropriate for children, to be fair.
There are also so many Lego sets that are not for children.
That's true.
Yeah.
As acknowledged in the first movie with Will Ferrell's performance, there are, like, adults who are obsessed with building Legos.
That's true.
Right.
We went to the Lego store on my birthday when we went to the Great American Dream Mall. And there was
just called the American Dream Mall.
Okay, sorry. The American Dream Mall.
But if you want to describe it as great, that's up to you.
And there was, like, so many Lego sets that I was like, these are not for children.
Honestly, it was very fun to see them.
Yeah.
But no, they're not for children.
And then you stole a little Lego head from me.
Paige, don't tell anyone about my kleptomania. Wow, what a rush, though.
It's on my bookshelf.
Oh, that's nice. It made the move.
It made the move. Incredible. It's in the little bag of, remember many moves ago, you gave me a little bag of crystals.
Mm-hmm. To christen your house. Mm-hmm.
This is a very reckless conversation for a lawyer to be having on recording.
Anyway, so
I'm the one who stole it, so it's fine.
I put the little head in with the crystals.
That's really nice, Paige. That's actually kind of perfect.
Anyway, yeah, so I will say he did not immediately go. He did time travel back in time to dinosaur time to get some dinosaurs first.
Mm-hmm.
Again, referencing another Chris Pratt role in the Jurassic World movies.
Did not know that Chris Pratt was in
those. Oh, was that what that was?
Yes.
See, I don't like Chris Pratt, so I didn't get any of this.
Also,
right over my head.
Those dinosaurs were not Legos, right?
No, those are Legos.
Those are Legos?
Yeah,
they
I've seen those.
They do not look like Legos.
No, they have those. I know kids who have those.
Do they need to work on that?
Do your nieces have any Legos?
My nieces are not Lego people. Not yet, anyway. I think they... I don't know. We were never Lego people. Like, as far as I know, my brother didn't really have them. I was never really interested at all in building toys. So I don't know if they will be Lego people or not.
Were you a Lego person?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Big Lego guy over here.
What was your, like, biggest Lego creation?
I don't remember. I was more into, like, building my own stuff than, like, following the directions. For the most part. But then there were so many gimmicks too. Like, there was, like, Lego basketball, which obviously I was into, but, like, couldn't really combine with other stuff.
It's like a tiny little basketball, and then you, like, does it stick to their little hands?
Oh, yeah, they had a little piece that you could, kind of was like on a spring, and you could flick it to make them throw the basketball.
Whoa!
Okay, honestly, it sounds very fun.
Yeah!
Should have gotten that.
They had some of the players in... They had Gary Payton in the movie, and they had Cheryl Swopes, and they had, Shaq was in at some point. I forget which of the two movies Shaq was in.
I don't think it was this one.
Mm-mm.
I don't remember Shaq.
It was a brief appearance.
Right, I'm just saying, I didn't remember him in this one.
I think he was only in the first one, and it was Gary Payton and Cheryl Swopes in the second one.
Sports guy.
Lego sports.
Wait, but you were never a Lego person, right, KG?
No. Jacob had some Legos. My brother had some Legos. But always just, like, run-of-the-mill, like, this is the box. I'm going to make it the thing on the box.
Oh, he would make the thing on the box.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Oh, you know,
like a puzzle.
My brother was really into like those 3D puzzles. Do you guys remember those?
That's basically Legos, right? If you're making the thing on the box, Legos are a 3D puzzle.
Yeah, that's true. But this was a specific 3D puzzle, and he would make like the Empire State Building out of like those foam pieces that were puzzles. No, nobody.
Isn't that pretty different? Because like puzzles, you have to figure out like what goes where. Legos are like telling you what piece to put where.
Kind of. But similar idea, like you're making the thing.
Yeah.
And there's not a whole lot of imagination involved.
Unlike time travel.
Unlike time travel and unlike...
Oh, I think I had a really cool pirate ship set. Mm. If you're thinking of like the biggest, the coolest thing I made like from the instructions, it was probably that. But
that is what I think of when people like mention Lego sets. I think that is what I think of. I think of pirates? Like pirates. I think of like a Lego pirate set.
Huh. Pirates. Interesting.
But I think, so the pirate in the movie is like a robot pirate, which was
Nick
cool.
Offerman.
That was Nick Offerman. Whoa.
Yeah, literally everyone was a star.
It was cool that they did that because, like, that's what was fun about Legos was you could, like, mix robots and pirates. Like,
yeah, I mean, why not?
Yeah.
I love that.
That's why I didn't just follow the instructions. Yeah, I wanted to have my pirates fight space aliens and stuff like that.
Every time I've, like, been, like, at a house of a kid who plays with Legos a lot, you know, babysitting or whatever, it seems to me there's much more interest in just, like, making random stuff than there is in, like, actually putting the thing together. Except for one kid who was, like, definitely, like, gonna be a sociopath when he grew up.
Definitely the best way to play with Legos, and I didn't necessarily expect the movies to take that stance, which is partly why I liked the first one, because it clearly took that stance.
Came down on that side pretty hard.
Yeah. That is nice.
This one was just a little wonkier in its messaging.
Okay. Well, it also is like, I understand, like, the first movie I think was very clear, right? Exactly how we got from reality to like what was happening in Finn's imagination, and like then what happened on the bookends of that, right, with at the very end with his dad and everything. This movie, honestly, a little less clear. Like, there was part of me at the end that I was like, oh, are the Legos gaining sentience?
This was my biggest question, and I think we should probably transition into our next section to talk about it.
Before we transition, I mean, I agree with that 100%. And also, what was great about the first movie was that the reveal that they actually like had an actor playing Finn in in all of that they were actually going to explicitly acknowledge that it was all a child's imagination was like a fun twist that you didn't see coming from the beginning of the movie, whereas in the second one you knew that the whole time because you'd seen the first, well, some of us had seen the first one.
Well, I read the summary before I watched it, to be fair.
Right, so in the second movie, I'm watching the whole time being like, okay, wait, so what is this equivalent to in the real world?
Right, right. And a lot of it didn't really make sense for an equivalent. Like, there were some things where I was like, wait, what?
Okay, so we're moving into, what have you done? Okay, so there's more holes and stuff, and we can sort of talk more about, is this time travel? I would argue again, even if this is all in the imagination of a child, we are still watching the characters. We are following along with the storylines of Emmett. Emmett time travels.
Right. And arguably, any fictional thing where you're watching a work of fiction is inside someone else's imagination. So, like, any movie.
Well, it was at some point.
Was at some point. No, it was,
right,
that's
but
what I'm saying.
The it's author like, is asking you to suspend your disbelief in a way that this movie was not doing.
No, I think... Finn himself as, like, internal author is requiring that of us.
But I think we're supposed to see this as a example of how a child like Finn would think about these things and would imagine these things, and that isn't always going to be perfectly logical because he's just a person.
Sure, I think we can forgive a lot of holes in any sort of time travel logic in this movie in a similar way that we do when it's magic versus science,
yes,
right?
Yes, I agree. Like, the things can be explained away by the fact that it's a child trying to imagine it, rather than sometimes the things are explained away by, like, well, it's magic, so, like, we don't have to tell you why or how it happens.
But usually we're hardest on, like, science.
Yeah.
Yeah. But not just explained away, but, like, it enhanced by, I think, because it would be weird if it was all perfect and it was all supposed to be happening in his head.
Sure.
I mean, I guess the question I really came away with, and I don't know if this is a time travel question or more of like a Lego mechanics question, is just like, do the Legos have free will or not?
Right.
Well, yeah, that's a separate question from the time travel question.
The first movie felt very clean in the message it came down with, or like in the storytelling framework and its messaging. This movie, I genuinely think I come away with like, oh, Emmett got himself out from under the dryer, and these Legos got themselves out from the storage bin.
There were a lot of times when we saw the Legos in the real world, and they were physically moving without anybody else. Did that happen in the first movie?
No, I don't think so.
No.
Well, right, and that's, like, fucked up.
Right, we often saw, like, a character, a Lego piece, under the dryer, where you could see the dryer, and you could see the Lego character moving without any human assistance, and that did not happen in the first one.
Right, so did the Legos gain sentience?
Between the first and the second movie?
Yes.
The answer seems to be yes.
Yeah.
Therefore, is it real time travel, or is it Finn?
I think that what...
Or Bianca.
Yeah.
Or Bianca.
I think that it's supposed to be that when Finn forgets about Emmett under the dryer, and Emmett gets out without Finn, it's because... we've switched to Bianca's perspective, and Bianca found Finn, but it doesn't make
Emmett.
Any sense.
Bianca
yeah, sorry,
Emmett.
Bianca found Emmett, but it doesn't make any sense that they show us Emmett moving without Bianca's hand there or some other explanation.
I have to say, I was delighted by the moments where the Legos were in the real world and moving on their own. I thought that was some very fun bits of animation. But it was narratively extremely confusing.
And it's also weird that they never acknowledge it, right? Like, at the end, right, we're back in the new name of Apocalypseburg that I'm not going to remember. And, like, Emmett and Lucy are just like, look at our new house. And neither of them are like, hey, remember when all of a sudden we were in a completely different world and we had to, like, escape from under the dryer?
Remember the whole dryer situation?
Remember those, like, giant human beings that we saw?
I did like the whole dryer bit. Like, it was so frustrating that you would lose your Legos under stuff like that.
But, and then it's like, you can't get it back. That's over. That's,
but yeah, my Legos never climbed out by themselves.
As far as you know.
As far as I know.
Ooh.
A real Toy Story situation.
Yeah, well, that was my question, is like, are we doing Toy Story or are we doing Finn's imagination? And which one is it?
You're probably looking at me like I know the answer.
I don't know.
They didn't give me any sort of satisfying explanation that makes me think we're not sort of doing Toy Story.
I think we're just not supposed to think that hard about it. I don't know.
You're probably right.
I think they, the problem is they got kind of lazy.
Okay, so if we are kind of doing Toy Story, are we saying this is a movie that has time travel or not?
Yes, if we're doing Toy Story, then it definitely is time travel. Rex did all that by himself. Or Emmett did all that by himself to become Rex.
To become Rex. Because he's sentient and has free will.
Yes. Then okay, we're 100% right. doing time travel.
Okay, fair, yeah.
I still think that time travel was imagined.
I think it can be both. I think it is real for Rex / Emmett, and it is also imagined by Finn. Because I think Finn ultimately, like, pulls the strings. Okay. It's sort of like... when people are like, well, God exists, but we also do have free will. Like, you can...
Well, you have free will because you think you have free will, right?
Yeah, right. That sort of explanation where it's like, you're kind of getting around it, but also being like, yes, there is a higher power and fate does exist.
Wow, really getting into theological discussions here.
If we are accepting that the time travel was real, then I don't understand why Rex disappeared. At the time that he did, because he was there, and then he disappears without there being any... There's no messing with the space-time continuum in between when he's there and when he isn't there.
Well, no, he is the future version of Emmett that Emmett becomes if he hardens his heart and loses all his friends.
Right.
He disappears when... Lucy comes back and Emmett chooses Lucy and his friends over becoming a rogue.
Yeah, it's more about Emmett's internal journey than it is about any one action, in my opinion.
it's still...
So this holds up perfectly, then.
No, it doesn't.
Great time travel movie.
I mean, it still doesn't, like, because there's still, like, even in best case scenario, right, Emmett does all the same things that Rex wants him to do. Emmett becomes Rex. There's still two Rexes. Right. It still doesn't work.
Right.
But... Right. But that is the movie's internal logic explanation for it. This is more of a romance thing, but I'm like, if I'm Lucy, aren't I a little concerned that, like, this Rex was inside Emmett all along? You know what I mean?
Are we going to talk later about whether there was romance in this movie?
Yeah, we are.
Another consistency issue that I have, this is not technically time travel related, but a consistency issue I have, why is Maya Rudolph happy at the end that her children directly defied her orders and are playing with the Legos that she told them to put in the storage bins?
Because that's not the point. They're playing so nicely
together. It doesn't matter. She said, no more chances. Put them in the storage bins. They directly defied her orders and are playing with all their toys. They're not being punished.
She saw growth. She saw them getting along like they'd never gotten along before. It was beautiful.
I'm proud of you for putting this in the consistency issues, because this is just about inconsistent parenting.
Yeah. Well, also, I like how, like, Will Ferrell was like, I can't get there. I can't get to set for
a
day.
I will not be there.
I will ADR my voice in.
I will send you some voice memos from my iPhone. He does not appear in this movie, and it's very clear that he just, like, did not want to come.
He, like, yells to Maya Rudolph from the other room, quote unquote, but he does not appear. So Maya Rudolph has to do a lot of work by herself.
Which set up the great line where she said something about your father's super helpful contribution, really sarcastically. I didn't realize how literal that could be.
Yeah, I mean, Maya Rudolph was doing a great, great job as an actress, but the mom was not doing
poor
great.
Poor mom.
Parenting.
Yeah, I felt bad for the mom because obviously she has not a very present co-parent. And in the first movie, from what I gathered, he was, like, kind of a weirdo anyway, so, like, yeah.
I mean, he was a jerk, but we were supposed to come away thinking he'd learned his lesson.
Yeah.
Clearly, I don't know, he hadn't had that
much growth. I'm sorry, it's a little bit their fault. They, clearly, this child has way too many Legos.
No.
Never too many Legos? Is
they
have
too
down?
Much money spent and too much time spent on these Legos. He has so many.
He has so many Legos.
Okay, so also, many Legos and so much time. He's been doing this for years.
Okay,
like, he doesn't have any new hobbies in five years.
It's not that he has too many Legos because they were all Will Ferrell's Legos in the first movie.
Okay.
This is a Lego family. Okay, here's my thing. Here's my thing, though, with this. Is that, like, this kid, like, clearly Legos are his whole thing. And his mom was like, you have to throw away the thing you've been working on for 5 years. Put it in the storage bin. To me, that is also bad parenting. Because I'm like, tell him he's not allowed to play with it right now, for sure. Like, put it somewhere else, maybe. But she was like, actively destroy this thing that you have been working on clearly very hard for 5 whole years.
That felt very realistic to me.
That's like terrible.
This kid needs some friends.
If that happened to you as a child, I'm really sorry.
It was always painful. Like, because especially when we're talking about, you know, not following the directions with Legos, it was always like, you would work really hard, and then your parents would see it as, like, a mess, because they didn't see any consistency in what Legos you had where. And so they would be like, oh, your floor's messy. You need to put your Legos away. Like, what does away mean? It means in a bin. There's no way to preserve the world I imagined in, like, and put them, quote-unquote, away. Like, and I don't think that, like, my mom was being, like, unusually harsh on me in that. I think that's, like, kind of inherent in, like, how Legos divide parents and children.
But I feel
and
like
it captured that in the movie.
In this particular case, they zoomed out into the human world, and he had, like, it was, like, the, like, Lego store level of, like,
again,
engineering.
Too much money and time.
I don't know. But you're probably right. I was never a Lego person. I was a craft kid, and there were times where I was like, I cannot possibly put away these crafts at this moment because I have them organized in a particular way that doesn't make sense to anybody else, and if I put them away, it will all go to shit. So I get it. I guess I get it.
I also, just on the quantity point, like, I feel like it's the Lego movie. Like, it has to be somewhat grandiose and exaggerated.
I just feel like this is just the whole basement, right? It's like just the laundry machine and the Legos. I mean, I guess if you have a whole house, I just,
it's hard living in an apartment in New York to not think about all the storage space wasted, or like all the space, usable space wasted.
By all those Legos.
I mean, not wasted, obviously, like, glad this kid has this creative outlet. I don't know, it's also like, clearly the Legos mean different things to him and his sister, and again, as a parent, to just sort of be like, just play with your sister. I don't know. The mom just being like, figure out a way to play together, maybe she should have taken a more active role in the mediation. Yeah, I don't know.
I agree with that. I think that there was a lack of boundaries in this family that maybe needed to be addressed more than just like, hey, here's a heart thing. But I was glad they played together at the end. That was a nice resolution, at least.
Yeah, it didn't feel like a resolution.
Yeah.
Felt like they're going to be fighting again tomorrow.
Okay. All right.
Do you feel satisfied in the answers we've given you?
Sure.
Does their love stand the test of time?
So here's where we talk about the romance, if there is one. I will say every plot summary of this movie that I read referred to Lucy as Emmett's girlfriend.
Yeah, that was like the vibe, but like they never did anything that was like, we're in love. They never kissed.
There were definitely indicators in the first movie that Emmett was into her, and then nothing ever like happened to suggest that she was with him after that. I mean, I guess they do live together, it seems. In the
yes.
Movie.
And there's just friendly yeah. roommates.
Well, there's a pillow. Emmett's holding a pillow. This is Emmett and Lucy forever. And at the very end of the movie, he says, are we still special best friends? And she says, forever.
Oh, so they're special best
they
friends.
Said special best friends?
Mm-hmm.
In the first movie or in the second?
In the second.
Oh, I missed that.
You know who else are special best friends? Bill and Ted.
Yeah, I mean, arguably for counting this, they're special best friends.
So I'm just, like, confused because I'm like, kids watch Disney princess movies where the princess kisses. Like, why are they not allowed to be boyfriend and girlfriend?
I don't know.
Is it because Emmett has, like, the mind of a child? Like, is that what it's like? I don't...
He has a childlike whimsy, and so therefore...
Maybe it's... Oh, okay. Maybe it's... This is coming to me now. Maybe it's because it's... Especially in the first movie when Finn is, like, 8. It's in Finn's imagination.
And so Finn doesn't want them to kiss?
And Finn doesn't know about, like... But no, even 8-year-olds know about boyfriend, girlfriend.
Yeah, and like...
And yeah, he clearly, in the first movie, it's very clear that Emmett is romantically interested in Lucy. So Finn's already thinking about that. Why can't he think about it being a shared feeling?
Low self-esteem.
Even in his Lego dreams. No success rate. Well, also the other thing is we also get Bianca's point of view in this. Right. And she clearly, like, is interested in people marrying each other.
Sure.
So...
Yes, I would
she
say...
She couldn't make them kiss?
There's definitely at least one romance in this movie.
Yeah.
And it is between Lego Batman and Princess Queen Watanabe.
Say it, Paige.
Whatever a wannabe.
Yes. Honestly, I loved their love.
Yeah.
I thought it was great. One thing that I thought about with Lucy and Emmett, though, before we completely go off of them, is that I really liked the fight between Emmett and Rex, where they were, like, fighting the way that you, like, make Lego guys fight each other. And I really would have liked to see Lucy and Emmett kiss the way you would make Lego guys kiss
yes.
each other.
Mm-hmm. Can we... Okay, while we're on the subject of romance, something... A topic we touched on earlier that I want to go back to just because it was one of the funniest parts of the movie.
Yes.
So, theoretically, there's also some romance between Maya Rudolph and Will Ferrell because they are...
Sure, they had two children.
At some point, they would have had to be romantically involved, yeah.
So, in the first movie, the TV show that Emmett has to watch every single day because President Business only lets there be one TV show... is called Where Honey, Where Are My Pants? And it's... The character on the TV show is just constantly looking for his pants. And so in the second movie, when Will Ferrell is only appearing vocally, at one point you hear him yell to Maya Rudolph, Honey, where are my pants?
That's great. That's a good callback.
That's a good callback.
I would watch a show called Honey, Where Are My Pants?
I think we are taking them as having a romance, right? They live together. This is Emmett and Lucy forever. He asks her at the end, you want to be special best friends still? She says forever.
I think we are meant to take it as a romance. In which case, I'm like, this dude seems so annoying to put up with for 5 years during an apocalypse.
Let's just say Lucy's a saint. Emmett is not your type.
Emmett is not my type. But Emmett also doesn't seem like Lucy's type.
No.
Well, Lucy's my type.
But what do you learn about Lucy in the end, though? That this whole thing has kind of, this whole dark persona has been a bit of a facade. We kind of, that's a bit of a reveal at the end.
Well, just that she had, the hair she was born with wasn't black. That's all we learned,
no,
really.
No, and we learned that she co-wrote Everything is Awesome.
She was a pop star.
Okay, sure,
so...
sure. Yes, that is fair.
I guess that is a big deal.
Which just makes her even more perfect in Emmett's eyes.
It would have been funny if that was who Kobe Smulders had played, because of the whole How I Met Your Mother parallel there.
Because she was a pop star?
Yeah.
That would have been kind of a deep cut, but yeah.
Let's Go to the Mall is a better song than Everything is Awesome. Hot take.
Let's Go to the Mall is a banger.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what Emmett and Lucy talk about in their house, but... Happy
no,
for them both if they
like
each other.
He seems
like
a pain in the ass, just like Chris Pratt.
Yeah. And like I was starting to say before, if I'm Lucy, if I like Emmett the way he is, again, I don't know why, but Lucy presumably likes Emmett the way he is. If then Rex exists, right? Which is like Rex is Emmett, right? So this person, this possibility was in Emmett the whole time. That is off-putting to me.
Feels like a red flag.
Feels like a giant red flag.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. I would argue that there are, like, different versions of ourselves, many different versions of all of us, and we, given the correct circumstances, like, there is evil in every one of us.
What,
just saying.
What did you do, Helena?
Wouldn't you like to know?
I heard she stole Lego.
It's a good callback.
But yeah, I think you could end up, we could all end up doing things that we are not proud of or that, like, a past version of ourselves would be horrified by because of circumstances in our lives. And I think that this movie is really, really trying hard to be like, it's about toxic masculinity, but for the babies.
Yeah. But I also think it's fair, even if that is true, that if I'm the person that is seeing that as the person who loves who you are now, that could worry me.
Well, so what makes that very interesting is that her ex is Batman.
Wait, she dated Batman?
That. She was dating Batman in the first movie.
Wow, so grandma.
Batman's got a lot of that toxic masculinity issues going on. So it's like, on the one hand, maybe that's more her type and she kind of likes it. But on the other hand, we also kind of thought that she learned from
she
that.
She had moved past that.
Yeah.
Well, the only reason Emmett is interested in becoming a Rex is because of what Lucy says. Like, he thinks that he needs to be, like, a more manly man for Lucy.
Right,
but he also became Rex, right? That's more what I mean. Is he... Rex is Emmett, right? So he did become Rex.
Yes, but...
Not to impress Lucy, just because he became that.
No, but he became... Well, originally he became Rex because of his anger about being stuck under the dryer.
Yes, that's the
but
version I'm talking
Emmett,
about.
Emmett, the version that we see.
Yeah, I don't care about Emmett, the version we see. I'm talking about
no,
if I'm Lucy
is,
seeing Rex.
But he does want to emulate that version of Rex for a time. And
sure.
There's a part of him that is like, that appeals to him because, partially, because of what Lucy said.
Yes.
He
that,
could
and
be
that, I don't,
convinced to do it because of his anger, or he could be convinced to do it because he wants to impress this person.
Yeah.
I don't know which one of you is right, but I think that to figure it out, there's got to be some parsing of the time loop continuum thing, you know, to...
Well, I'm just saying, I'm less concerned about the version of, like, meek little Emmett who wants to, like, draw some dots on his face. Like, whatever. He very quickly abandons that. That's not, if I'm Lucy, that's not Emmett that's giving me pause. It's Rex, who is, as I said, Emmett. Like, he is the same person that I dated and became this evil guy who got us all stuck in a storage bin.
But he became that, I think what Helena is saying is he became that after Lucy told him that he needed to change in that direction.
Yeah.
But that part never happened in the version of the timeline.
But the Rex that you're talking about was still affected by Lucy's comments.
No, that didn't happen.
Yes, it did.
No,
that happened before.
Him going under the dryer happened before that.
No, that's not true.
When did
he went
under the dryer?
He went under the dryer. He was trying to get to the Stargate to save Lucy.
Oh,
after she
you're
had
right,
been like,
you're right.
Not
okay,
tough
you're
enough.
Right. You're right. I'm wrong. Okay.
True. So I think it's both.
You're right. Correct. Okay. Do we want to talk about more about Batman and Tiffany Haddish?
I just love Batman and Tiffany Haddish.
I won't say her name again.
Surprisingly delightful. At first I was like, Batman's not consenting to this, but it turned out that, like, he was in the end.
I mean, she definitely manipulated him into it, but sure, yes.
Yeah, whatever.
He was like a dumb toxic masculinity guy, yeah. And that was why he was so manipulable.
Yeah,
it's true. The whole thing is an indictment of toxic masculinity, ultimately.
Yeah.
But Batman was... great character.
Yeah.
Will Arnett is Batman.
Which is why I've heard that the Batman spinoffs are the best of the Lego movies.
Yeah, because Will Arnett was having a really fucking good time and they were like, we want more of that.
Okay, another great sort of self-referential moment, like right in the very beginning when he shows up and they make a joke about how he was off doing a standalone adventure.
Mm-hmm.
That was funny.
Yeah.
I also loved Batman's wedding look.
Oh, yeah, and she got him to wear white. He was like, it has to be black. He was like,
he looks incredible.
Yeah.
It was great.
All right, well, toxic masculinity leads us nicely into... Ladies, did we just time travel back to the 1950s? Here's our intersectional feminism section, where we finally get to hear about all the research Helena did. into Lady Legos.
Okay, yeah, Lady Legos. So I... personally first encountered Lady Legos maybe a couple of years ago, but I recently had an encounter with Lady Legos at the home of someone I was babysitting, and I was like, what the fuck are these Lady Legos? Because it's very obvious that they are Lady Legos. They're like the dolls of these Legos are like bigger, but also they're like bigger in stature, but they are also like skinnier and like have curves and titties. Yeah, and it's really weird. And I was like, when I saw them in the massive pile of Legos that these children had, I was like, what the fuck is this? And then I like put it out of my brain and was like, whatever. And then it came up in this movie because Mayhem is one of these like girl Legos, and I was like, why? What the fuck is this? So I finally looked into it. Turns out that this was a type of Lego that originated with a collection called the Friends Collection mm-hmm. in 2012. And it's been fairly controversial over the course of the time that it has been in existence. It seems like Lego did like a lot of market research to find out like why their product was not necessarily connecting with girls. Partially it's because of their marketing, partially it's because of like the way that girls think they should be playing. And yeah, so they came out with this collection based on sort of like the way that girls are socialized to play, and like they're not, it's a tough question because yes, it does get girls to like be interested in Legos and the building process and play with them in the ways that girls are naturally, or not naturally, but like socialized to play. But also it's like kind of playing into stereotypes as well. And also like, I can't help but feel like there is like body dysmorphia all over these tiny dolls. Because like, ooh, we can't have a girl Lego that is like shaped like a box like the rest of the Legos. I mean, clearly Lego is just like responding to market pressure. So I don't know how much I blame them, but also, like, I find it really icky.
Well, it definitely feels icky, but I think it's also interesting because, like, you said they introduced these in 2012 or so.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's, you know, after my time playing with Legos, and I do remember there being some female-presenting Legos usually with hair pieces.
Mostly the hair.
But, like, pretty much every single Lego had the exact same body type. And there's something to be said for having different body types. I think it's just maybe an issue if it's like, oh, there's the one body type and then there's the one with titties. Like, and there's no different shapes or sizes or...
Right. And it's... I don't know. The titties are the thing that freaks me out, to be totally honest. But also, I noticed when I was watching the movie that Lucy has titties. Like, drawn-on titties. Anybody else see the drawn-on titties? Just me?
I didn't really think about it, but now that you say it, I'm kind of like, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what to make of, like, Lego bodies. Or Lego gender politics, yeah, I think, to be totally honest.
Well, the thing is, like, it would be nice if we could just make nothing of Lego bodies, right? It'd be nice, but, like, the fact that they made Lego bodies, and now we have to, like, think about it, right? It's like, I don't know what was wrong with just having it where everyone was just, like, a square, and then some of them had hair, and those were the ladies.
Yeah. I don't know either, but I think part of it is that, like, because of the way that, like, the rest of the market is and the way that girls are socialized, girls were, like...
Wanted dolls.
And yeah. wanted something that's closer to, like, the way that Barbie is shaped, which is...
Sure.
With titties and a waist. I don't know. Like, I feel two ways about it because I'm like, yeah, if girls need, like, a way in to this toy that... I do think Legos are educational. I do think they are, like, giving kids, like, a wide range of skills with, like, fine motor skills, with, like, imagination, with construction skills. Like, I think all those things are really good things, and I think girls should, like, have a way into it if they need a way in, if they don't feel invited into it. But I also, like, feel really uncomfortable that they had to make a different body shape of doll. And it just makes me sad, honestly, yeah. is mostly the thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, like, so many other things where it's, like, is Lego what's causing the issues? No. It's more of a symptom than it is a real cause of the larger issue.
Yeah.
It's just a bummer.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I'm with you with everything you're saying. I guess to probe a little bit more, just what interests me as a follow-up is, like, how would you feel if instead of it just being like, oh, we're introducing this one other body type, like, how would you feel if there were many Lego body types? If you had fat Legos and skinny Legos and...
Of both genders?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, just to make a comparison, so like, the like sort of default Lego skin tone was yellow, and then when they made Lego basketball, they made black Legos. And maybe that wasn't the only...
That was another question that I had about Legos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Shaq Lego is not yellow. Well, its jersey is, because it was on the Lakers, but...
Well, I mean, it's the same thing with the Simpsons. It's similar with the Simpsons. Like, their skin is yellow, but it's like, yellow is white people in
Well, it's the same with emojis. World. Or it was the same way with, like, emojis until they created all those different...
Right. And arguably, now they call it the default color.
I think that, like, a lot of people really connect with the fact that there are emojis in a lot of different skin colors. Like, I think that that is actually, like, that has actually been sort of, like, useful and, like, a good step. Regardless, I think that the skin color of Legos, obviously, like, it's tough because when you have something that's, like, this is the default, that always makes it...
Right.
The deviation from it is, like... partially could be representation, it could be tokenism, it could be like some kind of weird thing like Legos with titties, like
right,
like it's just gets weird.
The shape of Legos is not the shape of any human, right?
That's true. Yeah,
that's a good point.
But
yeah.
Also, like, but you could make the same comment about the color, right? Like
right.
So it's hard, right? And I think at the end of the day, I would like to know that the people at the top in these rooms making these decisions are representational of people from all different backgrounds and, you know, of different races, of different body shapes, of a lot of different genders. And I think that's generally not the case, right? Base level, I would like to know that the people making the decisions about what color, shape, gender, whatever the Legos are people who represent more than just straight white men.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a good start.
Well, I mean, one thing that I do think is worth mentioning as part of this that I read about is that, like, Lego did, like, a lot of research about how children play. And that also has, like, contributed to, like, more than just market research. Like, it's contributed to, like, thoughts about child psychology and, like, the ways that we put gender on children. And, like, those sorts of studies are important. And, like, I'm glad that that's happening. And I'm glad that, like, we're thinking about those things. But also, yeah.
I think it's also worth saying that whether it was the right decision or not to introduce this line of Legos, they did. And then now we're fast forwarding to when they make this movie. It probably wouldn't be great to just leave them out entirely once they exist, right? Because if you're a girl who does play with these Legos, and then you're excited to see the Lego movie, and they're not in it, you'd be disappointed. And they're not in the first one, I don't think.
Sure. Yeah, that's a fair point. Also, you know, one thing that is worth mentioning is that that character is arguably the sexiest Lego, but she is not sexualized.
You mean General Mayhem?
General Mayhem. Wouldn't you say she is designed to be the sexy Lego?
Sure. I will also say, when it comes to like market research, a fun fact I did not mention is that Rex's design was partially inspired by a Lego called Jack Stone, who was an early 2000s line of Lego designed to be hip and edgy and is apparently despised by Lego enthusiasts. And Lego uses Jack Stone as a teaching example of what not to do when designing a new Lego product. So Lego has also decided not to be too masculine either.
I'm going to come out on the side of I want Legos to be genderless.
I think I would like them to be, like, genderless and shapeless. And, like, I don't need my Legos to resemble me personally. But if other people do, then I also don't want to knock that. Like, I am, as a white woman, I don't want to pretend that, like, my... even as, like, a larger white woman, like, I don't want to pretend that my preference is... should dictate.
Yeah, I mean, it's also... it's one thing when you have, like, your genderless Lego pirate or your genderless Lego astronaut. And then it's another thing, like, are you going to have genderless Han Solo once you start introducing Star Wars, or, like, genderless Shaquille O'Neal?
When genderless Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
So,
hey, she said... I ask no favors for my sex.
Well, there you go.
I guess...
the point that you come to is that, like, all the things about kids, like, playing in ways that divide down gender lines and things like this, it's like, well, we can't, like, take that away from kids because it is, like, developmentally a stage they need to go through, and there are, like...
sure.
You know, and if that's the way they want to play, then they should be allowed to, and, like, and hopefully... regardless of whatever, like, way that they're playing that, like, seems gendered, they should be allowed to, like, play the other way or play, like, you know, all of it should be available to them. So it's not like I'm saying, like, throw away all the dolls.
Yeah.
Burn the kitchens.
Like, no, I think it's not about, obviously, like, we are obviously, none of us are saying things should be, like, gender blind, right? Because things, we know that you can't be, like... you can't be quote-unquote colorblind, right? You can't be, like, genderblind. Like, these things exist.
And children need to explore them.
Right.
As part of their development, because that's what they're reflecting what they see in their world. But do they need to see the Legos with titties? I don't know if that's what they need to
right,
see.
Right, because it's not, I don't know. It's not reflecting, I would say the typical Lego demographic without Googling it is what, like 7 to 12?
Yeah, maybe 7 to 12 a little younger.
I think a little bit younger.
Yeah. Okay, fine. Then even, like, right, 6 to 11. I'm going to say the majority of the girls playing with Legos do not have titties.
Yeah, but that's the thing, is, like, by the time they're that age, they are thinking about, they have processed what titties mean. Disney princesses, who, by the way,
yes,
are made into that kind of Lego. There's a whole line of Disney princesses who have the little... Lego titties.
And people have talked for years about why we make Disney princesses the shapes that we do.
Right.
And how there's, like, no fat Disney princesses. What are they going to do when they want to make a Roxane Gay Lego?
I would love a Roxane Gay Lego.
As we've been having this conversation, I have been thinking, the, like, actual basic Lego shape is pretty chunky.
Yeah, it's chunky.
They're not skinny.
Well, like, I just don't understand why we can't have, like, Ariel in the basic Lego shape. And it's like, well, maybe right. I can imagine Ariel, like, being a little chunky.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's fine.
That's great. Yeah. I don't remember there being Disney princess Legos. That must be a newer thing. But, yeah, no, that would
be
great.
Yeah, it's newer. And they're like, it's so weird. It's so weird. I just don't like it.
It's newer for the ladies.
It's for the girls.
Not ladies, girls.
In the end, it's the girl bossification of Legos, and I think it feels very 2012, ultimately.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, well, okay, so also part of this, and I didn't really go into this, but this movie, I believe, was made in, like, very shortly after the first movie was made.
Oh, really?
And then was, the release was pushed because there was a lot of, let me see if I have this somewhere.
Because of Lego Batman?
I don't know if it was necessarily because of Lego Batman or because there was a lot of other animation projects coming out that they didn't want to compete with it. Either in the same studio or okay. another, from other
Especially because they did not get nominated for an Oscar. Right. And they were probably really mad about that.
Yeah. So I believe this movie probably felt a little dated even when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. Here it is. Okay. The Lego movie originally had a release date of May 2017. Okay. So it was pushed 2 years.
Okay. Not that much, but yeah.
No. Yeah.
These movies do take a very long time to make, so I wouldn't be surprised if it was written.
I mean, so the movie was completed in 2017 and then shelved for 2 years. That probably means the script was written in 2015.
Yeah.
Right?
Or earlier.
Like 2 years after these Girl Legos come out.
Yeah. Right. So, okay, so I've talked a lot about my feelings about the Legos with titties. Does anybody have stuff that was actually in the movie?
Yes. I mean, we've talked a lot about the toxic masculinity stuff, which obviously it's great that this movie is against toxic masculinity. A couple things. One, this movie seemed to be overtly trying to address some criticism that it got in the first movie about how, like, Lucy did a lot of the work and then Emmett got all the credit for being the special one. General Mayhem comes in and is like, who's the leader, blah blah blah, and says something to Lucy like, so you fought and master built and kicked butt, then that hapless male was the leader.
Mm-hmm.
And then Lucy was like, well, he was a symbol, we all had ideas, blah blah blah. So this movie seemed to be trying to address a feminism mishap that they made in the first movie where, like, Lucy did all the work and Emmett got all the credit.
I don't know if it, like, fully got there, to be totally honest. Because Emmett was still the hero of the movie, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, the protagonist, for sure. They could have taken a turn and made it Lucy's movie, but they didn't.
I mean, in a way, Emmett almost ruined everything.
Lucy was trying. That's true.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, he's still the protagonist. He can be an anti-hero.
But they sort of made it Lucy's fault, right? Because Emmett almost ruined everything because he was trying to be tougher.
Right, because of what Lucy said. Right. Okay, fair enough. Yeah, so there you go.
But wasn't there also, even after that, once they got put in the bin, it was like a little bit of role reversal where it was Lucy being like the positive one who got them to... got the Legos to knock it off.
That's true. Lucy did save everyone when she got them to, again, gain mobility on their own to get out of the storage bin.
Maybe that's how the kids got around their mom being mad at them. They were like, well, the Legos just, like, walked out of the storage. I don't know. They just walked out on their own.
I'm glad this movie is, like, don't be, you know, toxic masculinity guy. I do think Emmett could be a little less annoying. Like, the movie could have come down on the side of Emmett being a little less annoying. But I wanted to ask you, Helena, how you felt about... Okay, so actually, I guess it doesn't actually end up being an issue because Queen... whatever
Queen
I want to be. Queen Tiffany Haddish did not actually end up being a villain. Yeah. But when they first introduce her, and it seems like she is a villain, she is very queer-coded, she's covered in rainbows and glitter, and she's voiced by a black actress.
Mm-hmm.
And I was immediately like,
uh-oh.
Two red flags.
Yeah, I think that that's a legitimate criticism. She seems like she's going to be the villain for most of the movie.
Mm-hmm. But then she's not, so I guess I take that criticism back.
I mean, yeah. But also, they could have had more black Legos. I don't know. Or
that's true.
Or black people voicing Legos.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to think. Were there any other...
Morgan Freeman.
In the first one.
He wasn't in the second one.
He wasn't in it at all?
Barely. Mm. I think the character, like, appears on screen, but I don't think he talks. I don't think Morgan Freeman showed up.
Yeah. Morgan Freeman probably had better things to do than make a second Lego movie.
So did Will Ferrell. Morgan Freeman and Will Ferrell took a vacation together.
No, wait, is Tiffany Haddish the only black actor in this movie? Because...
cast list.
I mean, there were cameos. Like, I assume Gary Payton played himself. I don't actually know that, but I hope they didn't have some actor playing Gary Payton.
Well, did he talk?
Yeah.
Or did you just see him?
He talked.
Well, Stephanie Beatriz is...
Latinx. Maya Rudolph is...
Right, yeah.
Yeah, but okay, but the main characters of the movie, for the most part.
Yeah.
We're really like, we're scrolling far down here.
Right, right. It just, it does feel like, I did have the sense that like, it would be great if there were more Black actors in the movie and hopefully more Black Legos. It just, it did feel sort of strange. Also, presumably these children are multiracial, so.
If Maya Rudolph is their mom, you would think. If
Rudolph is their mom, like, why don't they have more? I mean, that's up to Maya Rudolph, I guess, but it would have been a very easy jump.
Well, it's also interesting going back to what we were saying about.
Sorry, Max, real quick. Yeah. Gary Payton did voice himself, as did Cheryl Swoops. Continue.
It's interesting going back to what we were talking about with the color of the Legos. Like, if the yellow color is not just supposed to mean white, then why weren't there any... Like, was there anyone non-white cast to play a yellow-colored Lego piece?
That's a really good question. And that, yeah, that's part of what I have questions about, is, like, what are we really...
And the answer is no. Answer not in this movie, anyway. Yeah.
Stephanie Beatrice played...
General Mayhem, who is not a yellow Lego. She's one of the dolls with boobs.
Mm-hmm. I think it's an unfortunate thing, and I think they should pay more Black actors.
Yeah. Jason Momoa is Aquaman. Is Aquaman yellow?
Probably.
Technically, Jason Momoa is not white, but... Again, we're really scrolling down to, like, three lines.
Yeah, these are cameos.
Yeah, I can't even picture what Aquaman looked like in the movie.
All right, does anyone have any other feminism thoughts?
This is not important, but any thoughts on the gender politics of the Larry Poppins spoonful of salt joke?
Honestly, favorite joke, entire movie. I did write that down. I haven't found a place to talk about it, but yes. The gender politics of that are yes for me. There's a throwaway joke where they're like, off-brand Lego guy Larry Poppins is here. He's a nanny. And that's like the whole joke.
And they said something about a spoonful of salt.
Yeah, it was incredible. I loved it.
I think it's great. We need more male nanny representation.
Yeah, more male nannies.
Yeah, this is not feminism related, but my favorite joke that I wrote down is when they're all experiencing Armageddon, they're all like falling into a vortex of doom and gloom into the bin of storage. And one of the characters that we see is Abraham Lincoln. And he says, I had theater tickets tonight.
Oh, I like that too.
I didn't catch that. They made a couple. Well, I think in each movie they made one joke where he used the word score to refer to some amount of time, I didn't catch the theater tickets joke.
Yeah, that was a good one.
There were a few jokes that I enjoyed. I really liked the use of the champagne and of the toaster as, like, launch pads.
Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I really liked when the Legos built things.
Yeah, very quickly. Yeah.
That was cool. That was really fun. There were things where I was like, am I having a good time? And then the plot was such a mess.
Yeah.
It had just moments.
It was long.
Yeah.
We haven't technically transitioned.
Yeah, let's transition. Is it the best of times or the worst of times? Here's where we talk about if you should watch it, in what context, and we rate it on our doomsday clock on a scale from noon to midnight. Noon being notoriously, it's so bad you have to gouge your own eyes out before you watch this movie. Midnight being notoriously, it's so good, it's like a party in your eyeballs when you watch it. Woo, woo, it's our favorite. Noon bad, midnight good. Woo, woo, woo. Max is our guest, you gotta go first. You gotta rate it on our doomsday clock, noon to midnight. And then tell us why.
I mean, it was a bad movie, but if noon is gauge your eyes out, then like I'll give it like 5 o'clock at least. I'm not gonna gauge my eyes out. You shouldn't watch this movie, because you could just watch the first Lego movie. It's better.
Okay, fair enough.
No. But it's not, like, the worst movie ever. If you had to watch it, it wouldn't be the worst thing. If the first movie... Well, I was curious. I wondered how I would feel about this movie if I hadn't watched the first one. But based on what Helena has had to say,
I don't think
it would have changed my mind so much. Yeah.
They were doing the thing with it. They were doing the same style of joke that they do in, like, Avengers movies now, where it's just, like, the same, like,
sort of sarcastic, self-referential joke over and over and over again. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's exhausting.
Yeah, it's Chris Pratt's whole brand at this point. If Chris Pratt's going to be in a movie, it will be this kind of humor where you're like, okay. In terms of rating, I would give this one probably closer to a 3.
Wow, your eyes are
getting close to getting gouged out. I had a lot of trouble getting through this movie. I was watching it in the afternoon and like during a work day, but there were things that like I definitely could have done while watching the movie, but I kept pausing it to like give myself a break from the movie rather than giving myself a break from work. So that should just give you like an idea. Yeah.
You're not gouging your own eyes out, but like when you're choosing to do work over watching a movie.
That's what I'm saying. Like I was just like, well, it seems more interesting to do my job. So I'm going to do my job.
I was going to give it 3 until I heard you say gouge your eyes out. And I had this like visceral bodily reaction and I was just kind of like, there are so many worse things than watching a bad movie, but okay.
Yeah, I'm also gonna go 3.
Yeah, I mean there were some funny jokes in it. We just said like we all had a joke or two that like really made us giggle. Mm-hmm. But it was not enough for like the convoluted plot and the confusing like.
Time travel,
the lack of romance.
Not every movie needs a sequel.
So true. So true.
I think the story ended.
Yeah. No. I really. Especially with, like, the whole point of Legos is that, like, you can do whatever you want. So, like, if they wanted to make another Lego movie, they could have just made a different movie. And I don't know if they would have come up with something good or not. Like, I think it was always going to be hard because they played their best card in the first movie when they revealed that there were actual humans in this movie. But, so it was always going to be hard. You couldn't have just done the same thing again, but they could have done something else with whole different characters, and they maybe could have come up with a different gimmick and made another good Lego movie. Like, with Lego especially, there shouldn't have been a need to continue the exact same story.
Yeah.
I felt like they had that chance, and they blew it with Apocalypseburg, because that had an entirely different setting. It was interesting. It had the whole Mad Max sort of aesthetic. Just turn that into the movie. But instead they were like, no, we're having this whole different thing.
He's got to go up some stairs.
He's got to go up the stairs. And then we're like really involved with the humans this time. And also again, now I'm considering the free will of Legos. And I honestly, I just don't want to consider it. Like, it feels bad. I know.
And like, I have Toy Story for that.
Right. We've explored that territory.
And like, we all watched Toy Story as children. We've all already had to like stare at our toy box and be like, what's happening here?
All of the kids who were kids when these movies came out and not when, like, the original Toy Story came out have all also watched Toy Story because they're still making Toy Story movies.
That's true.
And yeah, Toy Story, the Toy Story movies are better. It's like, don't.
Yeah, and the animation's better. Yeah, I would say, like, if you have a kid that's really into Legos that you're around regularly, you could watch this with them.
If they've grown tired of the first one and the Batman movies.
Right, yeah. As a last resort, I guess.
If you have a girl who likes her girl Legos and wants to see girl Lego representation.
If you played with Legos and you're nostalgic for your Legos, I do recommend the first one.
Yeah.
That's the target audience. I don't think it's for kids who are playing with it now. I'm sure they all loved it too, but the nostalgia factor is there. It really, the first one, I think, really, despite whatever feminism issues it might have had, it really captures the essence of playing with Legos. The second one doesn't. Just watch the first one. Don't watch this one.
Watch the first one, then watch it again.
Maybe watch Lego Batman. We can't tell you, because I haven't watched
it. We haven't watched it.
But I bet it's good, because Will Arnett was having a good time.
Yeah. Also, again, Toy Story still exists.
It's so true. Watch Toy Story instead if you crave more.
Happy Feet.
We're going to have to do a bonus episode where Paige just like ASMR whispers into the mic what the plot of Happy Feet is.
Happy do you feel about Surf's Up? I haven't seen that either.
I haven't seen Surf's
What's
Up.
What's Surf's Up?
It's another penguin movie.
Rival penguin movie.
What about
we had a real
March of
with...
the Penguins?
Well, March of the Penguins
is like a different thing. I've not seen March of the Penguins.
But we had a real moment with penguins.
March of the Penguins is Morgan Freeman.
Yes, yes.
Yes, that's why he couldn't come back to voice Lego
movie.
What are
they doing March of the Penguins 2, the second part? I want to know what happens next.
Global warming?
I don't think you want to know. Yeah. That's why.
All right, guys, we gotta. Okay,
things are really falling apart. We have to go to bed.
Yeah. Okay, Max, some plug times. Can you tell everyone about all your fun, like, Instagram, Spotify,
Instagram.
TikTok projects?
Oh, boy. I do a Spotify playlist called 10 Tunes for Tuesday Morning, where I add 10 songs every Tuesday morning, and I make a TikTok to go along with it to, I don't know, just kind of promote it or say a little bit of what went into my mind when I picked the songs. I also have a second Instagram account where I poll the universe on which way they like to combine two different foods. Would you rather have a burger inside of a taco or a taco inside of a burger?
But weirder than that.
It gets weird.
It's
so
fun.
It's a great follow. I recommend it.
That's called foodie_inside_jokes on Instagram. And you can find the Spotify playlist on Spotify, or you can follow my TikTok, which I don't remember the handle of, and I will tell you in 1 second.
Great. And we will link both in the show description.
My handle is at maxim.out.
I was hoping it was just at max. I was going to be like, wow, early adopter.
I wish.
Very cool.
No, I was not an early adopter of TikTok. I was a begrudging adopter of TikTok.
I'm still not really.
Except for this. So
I only use it for the podcast. So
I still don't have one. So
we're going to wrap this up and we'll be back.
In no time.
Okay. I wasn't ready.
You started it.
Would you like to say it out with us?
But I'm not gonna be back necessarily.
Yeah, but like you could be.
Okay. But like the podcast. Okay.
Also, time's a flat circle. So
time's a continuum with two U's.
Three
U's.
Did
but
we
two
record
in
this podcast in the future and then like
yeah.
It hasn't
could be.
Yeah.
Okay.
Make the second Lego movie yet?
If they didn't, we have to stop it. If we are in a timeline,
why we have been chosen to time travel.
We're in a timeline where they haven't made the Lego Movie 2, the second part yet. We have to stop it.
Okay. And with that,
we'll be back in no time at all.